Hello and welcome to the official Sea of Thieves podcast. I'm head of video production, John McMurtry, and today I am joined by a selection of amazing people. And we're going to start with...
Joni, executive producer, Sea of Thieves.
I'm Mike Chapman, creative director on Sea of Thieves.
Christina, head of community and communications.
I'm Dean Olive, and I'm senior producer on Sea of Thieves.
Nice.
Have you changed to just one name, like Prince?
Yeah, or Cher. Yeah. Who needs a setting?
Dean, this is the first time you've been on the podcast.
Yes, indeed.
So we're expecting a lot. No pressure.
Yeah, I'm feeling the pressure. Sweating a lot. So.
Mike actually mentioned this before we started recording, but very nice t-shirt very choice nice. As well. Nice,
Thank you very much.
Where'd you get that? Is that official?
Oh, I nicked it from the brand cupboard down there. So yeah, they sorted me out. Freebie. But yeah, it's official merchandise.
Great. Awesome. So what I was going to start with, this is actually an idea by Jordan from the video team. He said we should change things up a bit and kind of throw you off your base. Yeah, don't cheat. So what I would like to do is a little quick fire question round.
Okay.
And it's about Sea of Thieves trivia, so you should all know the answers.
Right. This is not fair.
Right. So I'm gonna.
It's been a long time since I've known anything about Sea of Thieves.
I'm gonna throw it over to our guest, our special guest. His face there.
There's lots of Battletoads questions.
There's no Battletoads questions. Mm. Sorry, but
ask him the one about the what was the Fort of the Damned before it was the Fort of the Damned. That one. The one that threw me on that. Don't bring it up. It's too raw. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
So, Dean, here we go. Here is the first Sea of Thieves trivia question. What island can you find DeMarco's skeleton on? Now, its name is actually pretty on the nose. Right.
Is it really? Yeah. I might have to phone a friend.
I'm gonna throw it open to the rest.
Is it Joe? Sea Dog's Rest?
It is Sea Dog's
Boom.
Rest.
Boom, that means I'm not answering any more questions.
Okay, well, Christina, I'll give you the next one then.
Oh, great.
So to the closest 100 gold coins, how much does it cost to buy a captain's brigantine?
We just changed the cost, did we not?
Well, how much does it cost?
You just messaged it, haven't you?
175,000 gold.
That's not the answer I have here. Have we actually changed the cost of brigantines?
Yeah, that's right?
There was a temporarily.
Yeah, we did for Captain's Week.
Oh, well, so during Captain's Week?
Yeah.
And is that a forever thing?
No, I don't think so.
This is not making it into the podcast.
Keep the Sea Dog's Rest bit in there.
Yeah, we'll keep that in there.
Expensive.
Yeah, I had 375,000 gold.
That's probably right now.
Oh, yeah,
because Captain Week finished on Thursday.
Well, there you go. All right, Mike.
Come on.
What is the most popular video on the Sea of Thieves YouTube channel?
Ooh.
And you get bonus points if you can guess the amount of views that it does.
That is ridiculous, John. That is patently ridiculous.
You've got to think about Sea of Thieves' YouTube channel.
Sea of Thieves' YouTube channel. What is the most popular?
Yeah, so the one with the most views.
I would say the Sea of Thieves... So it's any video throughout history, right?
Yeah.
Host on the YouTube
channel. Yeah, as long as it's on that Sea of Thieves' YouTube channel.
The Sea of Thieves' launch trailer.
You're bang on, okay. Right? Okay, so 1 point there.
Sea of Thieves launch trailer.
Which is the launch trailer, though, sorry.
So that's the gameplay, official Sea of Thieves gameplay launch trailer.
Okay.
Yep. The one that had the Kraken at the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've got to deliver it now.
Yeah.
That's why I remember it.
So can you guess how many views it has? As of the 26th of June, it has this many views.
Okay. All right.
What's his range of error?
I mean, I'll give you 10% either way.
Mm. 7 million views.
Too high.
Nah, that's too high. You went in too high. Sorry.
I'm going to go 3.7.
You are close. It's 3.4. So 3,430,501 views.
That means I love the game twice as much as you.
Or I've just got a more realistic view of of where we're at.
You balance out the optimism.
So I'll actually give you a point each for that. You got the trailer right.
So.
Yeah, and you got pretty close there, Joe. Yeah. So. Joe. How many different types of megalodon can you find in the Sea of Thieves?
Five.
That is the technically correct answer, ooh, but it's actually only four because the Shrouded Ghost doesn't exist.
There you go. Very good. So,
I'll give bonus points. I'll throw it to anyone if you can actually name all five of the Megalodon.
You got to be able to do that.
Crested Queen, Shadow Maw, Hungering One, mm-hmm, Shrouded Ghost.
Mm-hmm. And?
And the...
I'm going to have to rush you on this one, Mike.
Go on, forget it.
It was the Ancient Terror. Of course it was. The last
Ancient
one.
Terror. It's my favourite one, actually.
What colour is it?
Ancient Terror is green, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Is it the glowy green one?
Yeah.
Glowy green one. Good. Okay. I'm going to come back to you, Christina, for this one.
Let's not.
So,
is this all we're going to do? This is great.
When you start the Captains of the Damned Tall Tale in a Pirate's Life at the Castaways' Camp, what item do you have to vote on to start that tale?
Book.
A book. Is that your answer? That's the wrong answer, I'm afraid. Does anyone know the answer?
Was it voting on the first tale book?
The Captains of the Damned Tall Tale. So, like, what do you have to vote on? What is the item there on
it
her shelf?
It is Jack's skull.
Correct. It is. Yes. A skull with a red bandana.
I was close.
Okay, last question. Last question. Were you? not really. This is the last question. This is actually worth 1 million points, so whoever gets it wins. If you think back to the launch of Sea of Thieves, the first of our infamous whiteboard videos,
yep,
what colour is Craig's hoodie?
Oh, I know this.
What was he wearing?
I'm going to go green.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah?
That is the correct answer. So you win, Joe, with 1 million points. 1 million and 1 point.
You could have won it if you'd said it.
Uh-huh. Did you know that? Was that for everyone?
You could have won. It was whoever got in first. Like.
I don't know why I thought you were answering that. No. It was green.
Joe was just eager to do it. Yeah. Like, okay. There you go. Yeah. Joe wins. There we are. All right.
And that's the end of the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. That's, we'll see you next time.
Genuinely, that was fun.
Let's do that again. We'll swat up next time. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sea of Thieves trivia.
No swatting up. It's more fun that way. That was good.
It's just too much to swat up on, to be fair.
So we're not here just for Sea of Thieves trivia, of course. We're here to talk about the hot topics, the burning questions that the community have. And I believe, Christina, you've been scouring the internet, scouring the social channels for all of their questions and their wants and needs. What have they got to say?
Well, the first question's quite nice.
Oh, is that quite nice?
And the first question is, who's going to Sotfest?
Oh, yes. So the Sea of Thieves Fest.
Yeah.
Where's that held usually?
It's at the Bescot Stadium, I think, this time around in Warsaw.
Right. Cool. Very nice. I am going, actually. I've got a ticket to go, so I'll be there. Yeah.
I will absolutely be there. I wouldn't miss the opportunity.
Mm. I'm planning to go.
As am I. I've got a ticket. Yeah. I've actually got a ticket.
Poor old Dean missed his chance to get a ticket. So.
Oh, sorry. Do you have a ticket, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, he does have a ticket. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not just going to turn up climb over the fence.
I'm Joe Neat. Let me in.
No, I did do that last year.
You did do that?
What, you turn up without a ticket?
Yeah.
That is disgusting.
I feel really bad now.
But you've redeemed yourself this year, right?
Yeah, exactly. You bought
have I? Might need to Liz, I'll send you a DM. sorry. Like, it's really busy. But really
Sea of Thieves Fest, great little thing. I wasn't there at the last one, but I saw all the stories last time, and it looked amazing. Looked very positive, very happy.
Wonderful,
yeah,
wonderful.
Good memories.
Best Sea of Thieves event of all time. That was the quote, I think.
Yeah, it was
incredible. Awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah, I got FOMO last year as well because I didn't make it last year, and I was like,
well, if last year's anything to go by, like this year is going to be bigger, better.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome. Yeah, cannot wait.
Yeah, cool. And it's, I think it's worth as well, while we're talking about Sotfest, to give a shout out to Festive Legends.
Red Dog.
Yeah.
Photos looked incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looked very cool.
Looked really great. It's amazing that we've got people just throwing festivals in Sea of Thieves' name on like both sides of the pond. It's incredibly touching, and it's really nice to see our community actually like connect in real life. Yeah. Especially, you know, I know we mentioned the pandemic a lot, but it's been a long time where people haven't connected and seen each other. Mm-hmm. And to have, like, certainly over this last year, that renewed sense of physical community is, I think it's been really touching. And I'm very excited to make my first Sotfest. Hopefully it's the first of many.
My not voice is going to be shot by the end of that day, I'm sure.
Yeah. Like, oh, everyone's going to keep making you say stuff on.
Yeah, and I have to go. Yeah, exactly. And you have to go into that, like, then there. And so it's just like, I'll bring a lemon.
Do you think?
How many voicemails are you going to have to record for people?
Yeah.
If I say this, they'll probably ask you now. But right. You're going to be on stage singing the captaincy song.
That'd be beautiful.
Oh, God. You would smash. Yeah. You'd be incredible.
I would do it if there was like good accompaniment and so who's playing live alongside me. Can't just do it.
Longest Johns.
Oh, that'd be pretty good. Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah,
are they there again? Are they?
I think they are. Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Sorry, John.
Yeah, well, all right. That's fine. Yeah, no, I'll do it.
If not, if they've got a cello, I did about 6 lessons when I was like 11.
Mm. I mean, I would also like to see that. Just you going like doing the first. Hang on.
I have a feeling there'll be one there.
You're going to be a slugging one.
It'll be a selection.
Yeah. Straight on eBay. I've got one.
Yeah. I had to play in a school assembly once.
Really?
Yeah, it was quite a simple tune, so yeah, I wouldn't.
Not surprised you didn't stick with that, actually. No, I can't quite imagine you with the cello.
No, it's pretty challenging.
So,
that bit in,
sorry,
is it Living Daylights where they escape on a cello?
Yes, it is. We're in the cello case, right?
When I thought of you and a cello, I don't know why I thought about Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, that's it.
That's where you went.
But it is like Dayton Snow. Yeah. Sorry, forget. No one's going to know that reference. Sorry, cut that.
So, since the last time we did one of these, which when did we last do? In like 2 months ago, maybe something like that. What has happened in Sea of Thieves? There's a few things that have happened along the way. I mean, we had something really recently with the Xbox Showcase where we announced the Legend of Monkey Island. Say it in unison, everyone. Yeah. The Legend of Monkey.
Oh no.
So yep, how was that for everyone watching that reveal? Like, what was it like to finally tell the world this is what we're doing? Michael, sorry you.
Hard to really put into words. Like another of those moments. Like after A Pirate's Life, if you think about the inspirations or some of the materials that got us inspired in the early days of Sea of Thieves, it's really like there's two other pirate fantasy worlds that you think about. Like there's pirate worlds out there a little bit more grounded, like you read about in Treasure Island and some of the kind of materials, but like the world of Pirates of the Caribbean and Monkey Island, there's that creative DNA that runs through both of them and the inspirations of just a fantastical world of pirates where you want to be a pirate. Yeah. So the opportunity to bring that world to Sea of Thieves in the same way as Pirates of the Caribbean just feels like dream come true, all of those things you can say, but just feels so right, feels so meant to be. Yeah. So the fact that we got to that announce, we didn't leak, thank God, and we got to have that moment again. And it is, I mean, it's different to Pirates of the Caribbean, right? It's not as well known out there, but there are people like myself, like so many of us on the team, that just adore that world and that set of characters. So I think to bring them to the Sea of Thieves is just, yeah, dream come true.
Yeah, like you said, it feels like a very natural fit for Sea of Thieves as well.
It does, very much so. I think even more so than Pirates of the Caribbean, you think about the characters and the sense of humour and the charm that's a part of that world. It's going to feel at home in Sea of Thieves. But and to see the announce, to share that with fans is just, yeah, one of those unforgettable moments.
Yeah. As many people have, Dean, you've been working hard on behind the scenes. How was it for you to see that getting announced?
Absolutely phenomenal. Day in, day out, we're very close to it. You know, you can kind of take it for granted when you're doing it for months, but to see it on the big screen at home, and the missus actually says, that looks good. I wouldn't mind you watching you play that. I was like, that's high praise indeed when the missus says that. So it was really good and see the reactions around the world. I know Mike got a video for us of the reception over in Brazil. It's phenomenal. And whilst it may not be as big a franchise, I'd argue the fans are more hardcore. They know that IP and they love it more than the other one. So
you actually just touched on something that I was going to talk about as well. You guys were around the world for different showcases.
We were around the world. So
where were you, mate?
I was in Sao Paulo, Brazil. First time ever in South America. But to be there, and for Joe as well, there's these fan fest showcase events that are held for the fans where, like, all the kind of hardest core Xbox fans that love the platform and love the IPs, they're there and we get to watch it with them, watch this showcase in this beautiful theatre. Had the opportunity to talk a little bit about Sea of Thieves beforehand and the journey we've been on over the last 5 years, and then finished just as like 3 seconds on the countdown, and then took my seat and got to watch it together. But I'd learnt that morning about where we were in the show, so I snuck down and took a video to share with the team. But like, just incredible to be there and just to share love of Xbox and so many Sea of Thieves fans there. It was just magic.
Yeah. And Joe, where were you?
Australia, Melbourne. Yeah. Nice. So It was great because I flew out a couple of days to acclimatise and then I had to work through the night anyway, which was on British time. So it just completely screwed my clock up again. But no, it was great, right? So I think, yeah, we started at like 11 p.m. and finished at like 6 a.m. or something. It was quite the event. But again, like you said, meeting all the fans, right? Amazing. People that just kind of... Because we had to keep it a secret going in that we were going to these events because we didn't want to cause speculation. So everyone was so surprised when they saw us there. It was like what are you doing in Australia? Like, yeah. And we had a couple of people, Victoria and George, in Warsaw as well.
In Poland.
Yeah. So, which looked really cool. Dancing
and
stuff.
Looked really good,
actually. Yeah. But it was funny, though, because I planned to record it. And then... I was like waiting for hours because I knew roughly when it was on again. And then I was like, I just started watching it. And then suddenly the reaction when the logo came up, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be filming this. that would have been a really good moment to capture. But luckily you did. So,
Well, that's the bit you hope. I think that's the bit we all kind of, you end up daydreaming and fantasizing about, which is how are people going to react before they even know for sure. But when they see Rare and then Lucasfilm, they're like, how is that going to land? And just to see the eruption of cheers in the room. Yeah, amazing.
Awesome. It was a great showcase as well.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah. I loved it. Absolutely. One of the best, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm biased, but one of the best gaming showcases I've seen in years. It was just incredible game after incredible game. Some lovely surprises in there.
The Fable trailer was genius.
Brilliant.
The trailer was
genuinely, genuinely funny, spot on. Yeah, and the reaction in the room was just was magic, yeah. Right? It just, like you say, it just kicked off with the right energy and stuff. Superb. I can't wait for that. Look like they're nailing it. So
yeah. I think obviously we would say this like as Rare, but to see the kind of diversity of new experiences as part of that showcase, that was the thing that I took away, which is this feels like, if you're into gaming, there's just so much here for whoever you are. There's just so much diversity of experience.
I love that one. Was it South by Midnight?
Yeah, South by Midnight.
That was
the compulsion one.
Yeah. I think that trailer and the Fable trailer were my favourite. Yeah. But yeah, that kind of, like Southern Gothic feel of it. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, really interesting animation style as well, wasn't it? Almost like Nightmare Before Christmas-esque or something.
Yeah, the kind of wooden marionette kind of look to the art style. Yeah, it looks stunning. Fair play to Compulsion. Looks like they're working on an incredible world. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Cool. Christina, do we have any other questions from our lovely community?
I'm sure we do.
Loads, mate. Loads. We'll get into it. We'll go with a slightly less fun question.
Less fun. Good.
Yeah, but we hit the hard topics. That's what we're here to do. Yeah, we're here to answer people's genuine questions rather than talk about things we want to talk about.
Dean's going to answer them all.
Yeah. Good luck, Dean. First podcast. Maybe the last. Let's see how you go. So a lot of our players noticed that Season 10 in our UI screens had shuffled back a few weeks. We've had a few questions about why that's moved. So do we want to hit that as a... We've not officially announced Season 10. Obviously that date was kind of the only indication of where it might have been landing previously. But obviously that has shuffled. Let's talk about why that's moved.
Cool.
Go on, Joe.
Yeah.
Do you want to tackle that?
I'll happily, yeah. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because we haven't revealed what it is here, have we? What season 10 is.
We haven't.
Nobody knows.
Features are and kind of...
I think I've probably dropped many hints.
Yeah.
I probably have.
True. But I'm going to have to talk about it from a complexity perspective without talking about what it is. Which will be fun. Dance around the details. But it is. It's one of those kind of far-reaching updates that just touches so many different parts of the team in terms of building this and bringing it together as a system kind of update for Sea of Thieves. And so, it crosses so many different elements of the team. And it is one of those that is just proving kind of hard to bring together, to deliver and kind of get into that bug-free state, right? And I think if you look back to Captaincy last year, it's not dissimilar in a way to that in terms of like the breadth of how many kind of different parts of the team it touches and how many need to come together to deliver it. And, if we look back to Captaincy, obviously we had to delay that. And also, when we delivered Captaincy, it's fair to say, some issues and some bugs when we released that we took a while to resolve, right? And so with this, we're really trying to learn from that and make sure that when we do deliver this, that we've kind of shored up any of those kind of weaker areas and stuff. So we're trying to give it the time that it needs to deliver and be the experience that we really want it to be and that we know our players will want it to be. Because I think there's nothing more frustrating than when you get excited about something and then it gets released and then it's not quite working as intended and with Captaincy, you were spending gold and it wasn't saving and things. There was like a lot of little kind of frustrations and stuff. So we really want to make sure that this time with this as yet unannounced kind of feature that it just gets the time in the team, and obviously we're we always look at the team health as part of this too, right? Which is that we're not just going to flog a team to kind of go deliver something, like, but it's like it's not about that, right? Like, it's about kind of balancing the kind of health and the kind of morale of the team, whilst also kind of understanding that can players get frustrated kind of when things aren't delayed or they add new stuff. But it's about delivering the best experience and trying to deliver it in the most stable place possible. So we'll share updates as soon as we have them, really. But that's the mode we're in right now, right?
I think so. And just to add a context, it might not kind of soften the blow of that delay, but like to kind of explain like the root of this issue, if you think about Sea of Thieves as a game experience and the foundation of what makes that game, you've got a sandbox world, you've got these systems that give you reason to go and play. And one way of looking at it is that servicing a game is, well, you've got the foundation and you're just adding more pieces to it. You're adding more things like skeleton ships and megalodons. And from our perspective, and the community may or may not agree with this, it really speaks to our ambition that we're not just adding more sandbox features. We want to add new systems and new ways to play, new ways to experience Sea of Thieves, even 5 years after launch. Mm-hmm. And we want to continue doing that. And that doesn't mean that we're going to double down on features that Joe talked about over and above sandbox features. We want to do both. But really, it speaks to our ambition that we want to keep enriching the foundation of the game that we have. But we want to expand the boundaries of the Sea of Thieves experience.
Oh!
That was the ghost of Pendragon. He's back. Mystery 3 begins.
For people who are just listening, one of the shutters on our tavern window just fell off.
Oh yeah, look
Joe's
at that screw.
Head.
It's on the on the wonk.
Well, ruins a little bit of the fantasy, doesn't it?
The blacksmith did that. I've been hit with a really hard hammer.
I'm
looking forward to that being a gif now. I don't know what my face was like. I was just like, what's going on?
What's going on? Just quickly to return to that, the point is, if you're creating a new sandbox feature, if we're creating a new enemy type or a new ship encounter, it's much easier to go and scope and understand the time it's going to take, what the complexities are and what the risks. When you're developing completely new systems that don't yet exist in Sea of Thieves, we can try our best, even with many, many years of experience of building content like this, to scope it and try and understand it and foresee problems before they happen. But game development's hard. It's not an exact science. And typically when we encounter issues like this, it's because we're doing new things for the very first time. Mm-hmm. So that's really the root cause of this.
And it's I think, kind of adding to that, and that's like great kind of context and explanation. It's also when you're working on like a live game, nothing can happen in isolation. As much as you try and kind of get a team to be like, right, go and just work on this and ignore everything else, like, we can't do that, right? Bugs will arise in the main game that it's like, oh, someone on that team needs to fix it because they're the expert in that area, or there's a live issue here and we need to then go swarm on that, and then you have to kind of come back to the thing. And it's like, so we try and protect as much as possible, but it just, as a live game, it makes it even harder to predict and plan and kind of deal with stuff, right?
Because and this might come as a surprise to people as well, you can't hold content either.
Yeah.
That is extremely challenging, because if you're like, it's kind of impossible for us to build content, hold it while the rest of the game is moving forward, because it's impossible to then add it back in. So all of this adds to the complexity of keeping a game up and running, allowing people to enjoy the existing content without issue while we're integrating brand new systems and brand new content. It's wonderful. It's fascinating, it's thrilling, but like, there's a lot of challenges that come with it.
Yeah, I still get flabbergasted that we can get so many people pulling in the same direction and shipping something. It's fascinating. But I think I really love the comparison of, like, if you consider foundations, and like, I like to think of it as a house. It's like, if you've got a base house, like, you can add a load of extensions, but adding a floor, like, that's hard. And then you can't, it's kind of that sort of analogy. And I'm going to use that to smoothly segue into another question. Plan that.
Flabbergasted is a great word, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Love that word. It is flabbergasting. It's like, oh, crikey. Like, this is, we are all various different disciplines being pulled together in a central thing, and then we ship a game that loads of people like love and enjoy. And like, most of the time it doesn't break, it just works as intended. It's actually quite magical. Like, like, even when you look at stuff like more linear media, like, I don't know what Pixar are doing with kind of animated films. Mm-hmm. That's all storyboarding, they're all working to a plan, but like, I don't know how their plan accounts for like stuff breaking or it interacting with another piece of thing over here, which then balks that, and then you've got to move someone from over there to go go like work on a thing that's just emerged. Like the fact that we ship stuff is still like, yeah, mind-boggling, to use another one. Flabbergasted and mind-boggling. Yeah. Both words I'm struggling to say, so that's good. going back to the kind of like extension analogy, obviously as we've added content to the game, UI and our kind of existing menus, yes, we've had to bolt that stuff on to what we have at the minute. And one of the questions we've had from Tamas is, do we have any thoughts or plans to improve on existing menus in UI? And I'll hand that over to you guys.
Yeah, we do, absolutely, both in the short term, but longer term as well. I think, like the way you've said it there, there's a lot of, you're building on top of a legacy foundation. The way we show our reputation screens, we've added seasons since launch, we've added events in the game, we've added new trading companies. All of that is building on a foundation. And I would say where we're at right now could do with some simplification and some tidying up. I think even from the perspective of new players, being able to come into the game and understand not only what I can do, but understand why is any of it important. Like, there's something about a plan to become a pirate legend. Why is that special? What does that look like on each step of my journey? What's going to drive me to strive towards certain things? So the first change that we will have in season 10 is kind of a community requested feature is, we've had a lot of trading companies over the years and just tidying up that screen so we can display it more neatly. So you can essentially look at your trophy case and feel good about the things that you've done. So that's an improvement that we're bringing in the next season. Longer term, we will want to look at our front end, but also the way we surface seasonal activities in the game. So these are not all going to happen at the same time, but basically that intent is there to look at Sea of Thieves today, 5 and a bit years in, and reflect what are the things that are important and surface, honestly, a lot of the great content in the game that remains hidden unless it happened by chance. So just show the full landscape of all the amazing encounters that you can have in Sea of Thieves and experiences you can have. So we do have an intent to do it. Reputation screen improvements coming soon, and then a longer term plan.
Amazing.
Okay.
That's great. We'll go for another lighthearted one. We'll mix and match.
Was that lighthearted?
Well, no, we did. we've gone from Sopfest and then we're season 10 to, UI screens. Oh, to, nice.
It's like a journey.
This is Jan Bagels, great name. Where is Flameheart?
Where is Flameheart?
Haunting us every moment.
Flameheart is, I might have answered this question before, Flameheart is planning his return. He's been resurrected, the resurrection is in motion, he's back, and he's planning his next move. So as players will find out, there is a Flameheart element to the Legend of Monkey Island story.
Oh.
So, like we always try and do, which I think is of critical importance, is if we're bringing other worlds and characters, it needs to weave seamlessly into the lore of Sea of Thieves. So very deliberately, Flameheart being back as an active presence is kind of building along in the background while there's a Flameheart element in The Legend of Monkey Island. And then post that, his plan will emerge.
I think important bit of extra context. Which planning tool is he using? Is he like old school Excel, or is he in Microsoft Project, or is it more Post-its?
Yeah, Trello. Loves Trello.
It's kind of parchment. It's like Post-its, basically.
No, but with parchment Post-its. Yeah, exactly. We should get those. I bet they should exist.
Yeah. Like, it's the chaos of using a PowerPoint deck as your planner. That's what he's doing.
Mentioning no names.
Do you, like, the kind of spinning kind of animations and stuff with his head.
One thing we should all be really impressed with Flameheart is just his powers of delegation. Like, he is a master delegator. He doesn't do anything himself. Mm. He just orders it and it gets done.
Executive.
But I think when you think about players that have been playing Sea of Thieves for 5 years and new players that join us, Flameheart he's kind of the other side of the coin. We've got the Pirate Lord and everything he represents, the power of the crew bond, staying true to the bonds that you have, and there's Flameheart, which is just about true piracy. So the presence of Flameheart has been felt, but he's never been an active presence in the world. And what's critical for us is that, honestly, we're really introducing Flameheart for the first time. Flymot has been this ethereal presence. He's a whisper. He's a myth. No one's ever actually seen him. They might have, some of our engaged players might have read about him in the Heart of Fire book and the Tales of Sea of Thieves book, but he's never really been a thing in the world.
Or they saw a giant head in the sky.
He's a giant head in the sky. But again, it's like the promise of him as a three-dimensional character has never been fully realised. So we talk a lot about the return of Flamehart, but honestly, we're really talking about Flamehart's true introduction to the Sea of Thieves. And he can't just be, oh, he's another end-of-level boss. He's another big boss in the world. It needs to be deeper than that. So that's why we're putting the time and care into doing this properly. And it's not just a flash in the pan that happens and then we move on. Flamehart is an important part of the world, and the way he sees the Sea of Thieves in the future is an interesting thing for us to draw upon. What was happening there? Was
it? Your post-its are dwindling. That's all. That's all.
Yeah.
Just.
Very good.
Amazing. And just on that note, obviously, how we've been interacting with Flamehart has been through adventures, and we have a question from another great name, Orlando Grifoni. Had a shake-up with adventures that we've grown accustomed to over the past year. So what's the plan with them going forward? And obviously, we're just coming off the back of the Dark Deception now.
Deception, yeah. So, yeah, what is happening with adventures? Dean, do you want to talk a little bit about adventures?
Yeah, can do a little bit. Mike will give some of the design spiel, as I like to say. But in terms of us, we're looking at it in, from a player perspective, how they engage with them. Also, how it affects our developers. They're very costly. I mean, you saw the production values in them. They had huge cutscenes, VOs in them and stuff like that. And I think from the storytelling point, we hit the nail on the head. Some of them felt like epic quests and stuff like that. Some of the gameplay didn't resonate too well with certain players, like camping points and stuff like that. I got done by Keg Boy, whoever you are. I've got a post-it note with your name on my screen, and you ruined my quest for me. He destroyed
it. Really got to you. I've heard you mention him once a week for like the last 6 months.
I still do to this day.
Was that their name, the game attack, was it?
No. I just called him Kick Guy because I was doing it. It was the Herald of the Flame, and I was just doing the end boss, and this guy appeared with a keg and went GG, and that was it. you can imagine I have 3 hours to game having a kid, and that was my 3 hours done, and he ruined it, so I didn't complete the quest, so I just rage quit, turned the Xbox off, and then we're changing adventures as a result of that. So I'm actually sweating in rage by this.
That's
at the moment.
So
But no, I think we learned a lot of lessons, so we'd done some great points as well, you know, bringing the community together, not always in the greatest sense, but sometimes it worked really well with the Return of the Hungering one as well. So unfortunately, I missed that one as I disengaged for a bit, and I'm a returning pirate legend, so it's good to get back into that. But we're taking a bit of a time out now because my team's doing the Monkey Island stuff as well, and how we can produce this and deliver, like Mike says, like Flamehart isn't just an ordinary bozo we're bringing to the Sea of Thieves again. That word's going to stick in my brain. I heard that before we kicked off. But yeah, we need to do it justice as well. Same way with the gameplay as well, and some of these things we introduce as well. But that also touches on the UI question as well. Are there elements we're going to address there as part of this wider change? And like I say, as a returning player, I did find it, I was quite lost in some of these cool new features. How do I get that great content surfaced to me as well? So I think we'll look at it from that, from a production angle as well, and a strategic angle. And then, I don't know, Mike, if you want to add some about the design.
I think adventures up until the Dark Deception, which was a really good adventure from a storytelling perspective, in my opinion. I think kind of two elements to this. Like, adventures were the ability for us to feel like the world was moving forward, and we got to explore, like, got to introduce Belle, which was a kind of a character we've had in mind for many years, get to really introduce her into the world, and obviously everything with the Shrouded Deep and the Shrouded Ghost adventure. Merrick, tell more of Merrick's story, tell more of the Flamehart story. All of that's been really important to us. But the manner in which players have interacted with them is they are these one-time-through, narrative-focused experience. And the narrative is really the star of the show. That's what's making it feel different. And even though some of the set pieces in there, the territory control of Adventure 9, Return of the Damned, the Shrouded Deep and the Summoning of the Megadon, there's some really cool stuff that we wanted to showcase there set piece-wise. But we're still building on building blocks that we had and really using the narrative to make it feel different, putting the player in a different context. For adventures going forward, I think the two big call-outs I'd share at this point is, firstly, we want to make them replayable. So they become a replayable experience in the Sea of Thieves, very much like our other content. And we want to pull the balance back towards gameplay. So still have really compelling narrative and a premise for it, but really make gameplay the star of the show, which is really the heart of everything that we do. So really interesting sandbox gameplay that makes the most of what's great about Sea of Thieves, and then some compelling narrative on top, rather than the balance before, which is really about the narrative and then gameplay second. So they're the two big changes that we're making for adventures. And yeah.
And is that something we're gonna explore later in the year? Is what, when can we sort of expect something along those lines?
Yeah, towards the latter end of the year, I think we'll share more of our plans for the next step for adventures. But very much about doing something that makes the most of what makes Sea of Thieves great.
Awesome. Cool. Do we have any other community questions, Christina?
Still absolutely loads. Let's get into it. So the next one is from Captain Logan. And he just asked, can we get an update on the team working on the projectile versus hitscan system for weapons? Which is a big question.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so I'd obviously, I'll start like quite high level. So we've got projectiles in the game that are essentially calculated using time of flight. The projectile is a real thing that moves through the space and then is calculated over a network. With that, there's more failure cases, more ways where errors can creep into it, the way that different network conditions and just the general reliability of those shots. That's really the root cause of what players understand to be the hit reg issue. So we put a lot of time and focus into beyond just exploring how we can improve the reliability of that, which is a very complex problem in a network environment with different hardware across different regions. In a fully networked game, it is a challenging problem. But beyond just improving the reliability of that, is there an alternative way to think about first-person projectile combat in Sea of Thieves? And another way that some games use is hitscan, which is essentially the bullet is teleporting.
Yeah, it's like not, instantaneous.
It doesn't exist. It doesn't have a flight time in the air. It's instantaneously connecting with the target. Off the bat, it felt like an opportunity to explore with all the reliability improvements it could bring. Our main concern was, we believe we can make this feel great, but is it right for Sea of Thieves? I think a big part of the feel of Sea of Thieves is its period weaponry. You know, all of your weapons kind of work like a sniper rifle. You get one shot and then you have to reload. So the reliability of that shot is important, but we still want it to feel like a pirate game. So we set out exploring hitscan with the hope that beyond just improving the reliability, which we got to a really good place with, we could make it feel at home in Sea of Thieves and use some visual tricks to bed it into the world so it would still feel like pirate weaponry. So two things happened. We got to a point where we kind of hit a bit of a brick wall with making it feel at home in Sea of Thieves. So it felt okay, but there were still questions around it. While at the same time, we discovered some new leads to improving projectile time of flight, our existing system. So we have paused work on hitscan for the reasons of we just don't feel we can ultimately look ourselves in the eye and go, this feels at home in Sea of Thieves. And we're following up on the leads that we have now, which are really, really promising. We're already making improvements and there's some improvements rolling out later in the year. So on just the time of flight projectile. So we are doubling down back on that and all the reliability leads.
So that maintains this sort of feel that everyone sort of knows of Sea of Thieves combat.
Which is another kind of factor in this as well, which was hitscan not only would have just maybe not felt at home in Sea of Thieves, it would just, that muscle memory and that feel, it's quite a radical thing to change. Yeah. Something as fundamental as the moment-to-moment combat in the game. Mm-hmm. So there was that pressure as well. It really needed to just feel like such an improvement to the game. And it, like for some players, it may have felt that, and I think some players would have questioned it rightfully. So now we're doubled down. We've got a path forward. We've proven some stuff out kind of locally. We need to then roll that out to a network environment and see to ensure that these leads hold weight. But it's looking very, very promising and more improvements rolling out throughout the year.
So good news for whoever asked that question.
It's great news. Captain Logan.
Captain Logan.
And I think it's safe to say that the work that we've been doing in these areas, hasn't just happened behind the closed doors of Rare, right? We've had our insiders
Yeah, they've seen some of
play this.
Yeah, they have.
So we have been validating with the community and actually like working out how our players feel about this at the same time, which is kind of where that feedback really is rooted in, which is really lovely that we get to ask people what they think. And, you know, something that people feel incredibly passionately about, we put something different in the hands and they go, actually, I'm not sure about this. And then we go explore other avenues. I think it's really great that we can develop hand in hand with our players.
And I think it's not to say that the hit scan experiments, we don't see it as like we failed to make that work. It's very much just exploring that kind of side of the crossroads. I remember when we first started building projectile-based combat in Sea of Thieves in Unreal before we launched. We were at that crossroads then, as in this way brings its advantages. It's going to be more reliable. This way is going to make it feel more Sea of Thieves. And I think there's always been, like, there'd probably be that question in the community for people that are really au fait with FPS experiences. Yeah. Like, what if you delivered it in this other way? And we've always had that question in our own minds. What we've done now is conclusively explored it and gone, there are some advantages. There's some good stuff there, but it's just not right for our game. So we're doubling down and improving what we have.
Awesome.
Excellent. So we're going to carry on plowing through the question. Dead Eyes Dre has asked a few questions. The first one is, will there be updates to the creator crew? I can tackle this one. Yeah. So the creator crew is obviously our kind of program for fledgling creators. It has your own trading company in the game. It's a really lovely integration, actually. A really great way to kind of consider and kind of reward people who are starting to content create for Sea of Thieves. It's wonderful. The program itself hasn't had enough love, I'd probably say, over the last few years, but it is something that we are now coming back to in terms of how do we revitalise this? Actually, how do we surface these players better? What more can we give them? So the answer is yes. I can't tell you when or what they're going to be, but it's going to be kind of two-pronged. It will be kind of looking at ways to expand on that kind of in-game integration, but also looking at ways that we can service the creator crew part of the website better, make sure that players and creators have more tools. And then also I can give a little bit of a hint in terms of the next kind of community day event, which actually, I don't think we've announced this. We're no longer doing community days. They're going to be community weekends.
Oh!
Whoa! I know. It's big. And, you know, the feedback from the anniversary it was the anniversary weekend that we did where we thought, do you know what? We'll try this for 2 days as an experiment. The amount of people who were just like, well, it was great. It was 2 days of good vibes rather than one. There's literally no downside. So we thought, do you know what? We'll crack on and carry on doing that. So that's kind of the first element. But we're absolutely actively looking on, like, working out how we include creators more in the next event.
Right,
I'm not going to give the date, but it's soon-ish. it's going to be at some point in the future. But we're looking at ways where we can actively kind of reward and engage and excite creators in a way that we might not have done previously with our other events. Like, I think one of the aims that we've got with this type of event is to just, like, excite and ignite kind of passionate players. Do you like that?
Excite and ignite.
Oh, see.
Is that what you just said?
That is better than inform and excite. Excite and ignite. Oh,
you can
get in
that.
A t-shirt with that.
That's like the flame up pep talk. We're going to excite and ignite those boys.
New Reaper's logo. Let's go.
But there's lots of different ways and avenues and pockets of players that we're trying to, like, make sure we speak to absolutely everyone in these types of events. So the short answer is yes, the long answer you've just had. the next question from Dead Eyes is, how has the team reacted to the response of the Chest of Fortune? Anyone can take that.
Great. Yeah, I mean, it was designed to be a little piece of, like, classic Sea of Thieves gameplay, a little catalyst for stories, reinvigorating the Fort of Fortune. Like, again, I think the Sea of Thieves community is so rich and diverse. And for every community member out there asking for more Tall Tales, there's equal amount of people asking for more kind of classic sandbox gameplay. Chest of Fortune is very much that. Very much in the design team's wheelhouse, the type of gameplay we love to go build, where we're bringing people together in the shared world and driving all of these stories. So reception for the community members that, you know, we were really going for has been fantastic. So just love that being the focus point in the sandbox when people see that Fort of Fortune skull go live. It's part of another feature that we're building for this year. There's another feature like that that's aimed to bring multiple crews together in the server. It's, yeah. So there's some good stuff there, and it really speaks to the kind of the diversity of the content that we're building. But yeah, great feedback. More of that kind of stuff to come.
Is that going to excite and ignite the sandbox, do you think?
Mm. Inevitably. I think so. Yeah. No,
brilliant. And then the final question that I'll read out from Dead Eyes is, having recently celebrated 5 years, what are the goals for Sea of Thieves going forward?
Goals,
another big
Joel.
Question. Another big question.
Look at me.
He's the man with a vision.
The man with a vision. Yeah. Mm.
Come on, excite and ignite us.
Oh, I wasn't ready for this one. But goals is to get to 10 years, pretty simply, right? But it's to keep, it is to keep growing the experience, right? To keep giving people new stuff to do in the sandbox, to keep enriching it, but also to keep addressing stuff that we hear kind of from a feedback perspective. And it is that constant ongoing balance, right? As you keep growing and, like you say, layering on top, building new floors to the house and all that kind of stuff that you were talking about. But we've got a lot of things coming up, right, that we can't really talk about, but over the next year that kind of has a mix of balance. And I think you were talking about it earlier, that some of the things are about how do we address stuff for new players or for people that are returning who haven't been kind of in Sea of Thieves for ages because there's so much stuff. How do we surface that better? How do we make it more discoverable? But also, how do we give new things that keep enriching that sandbox? It's a real balance. But I think it's just keep doing that and keep listening, keep observing kind of what people are saying, but keep trying to surprise and delight or excite and ignite the kind of community. And it's just keep giving people what they want and what they love. Right?
I mean, we've said this a million times, there's no lack of ideas on the team.
There never will be. Yeah. It's more there's too many ideas. Mm-hmm. It's really about the order in which we build things. And I think if you kind of look back a year to where we are today, we are definitely taking a more balanced approach when we look to the future. And when we look to the future, it's not just we're thinking a year ahead. We are thinking multiple years ahead from today. Mm-hmm. So you look at Captaincy, which is really a platform for play. And we've established a foundation. We will build on that in the future. We have a plan, some exciting visions for where that could go. The same with the Hourglass PvP, with the Season 8 feature set. That's a great core feature as it stands. It's going to bring incredible value with extensions to that in the future. And the same with the Season 10 feature set that Joe alluded to. That's another one of those expansions to the Sea of Thieves experience that we'll establish and then we'll build upon it in the future. So there's a mix of new ways to experience Sea of Thieves, but, and this is really important, not at the expense of what makes Sea of Thieves special. So there'll also be core sandbox value, giving you new goals, new experiences out there in the world, more things that fulfill that pirate fantasy. But the reality is you can't do everything at once. So trying to build things in a very considered way where we're building those new systems, those extensions of the Sea of Thieves experience, and then we're putting in more sandbox value. It's hard, genuinely, it's really hard to strike that balance. But I'd love the community just to know that what makes Sea of Thieves special to you, we're going to keep building that, but we also need to invest in expanding what Sea of Thieves can ultimately be rather than just delivering the stuff we've delivered in the past. So as a look to the next 5 years, I think the ambition, some of the ambition you've seen in the first 5 years, that very much continues. And if anything, it expands even more for where we want to take the game next. So we're in a great position, but if you love pirates, there should be something in Sea of Thieves for you. And that's really what guides us.
Amazing. Do we have one final question, Christina?
We do, and it's from Ranga Rogers, and this is something we've hit on a previous podcast. When Season 8 launched, we saw kind of more visibility of, or players were kind of having more visibility of people who were cheating or potentially, you know, exploiting certain systems in Sea of Thieves. A lot of players have actually asked, like, how is the development going in terms of combating that, addressing it within Sea of Thieves overall? By the time this podcast comes out, there will either be, or will just about to be on the website, an update in terms of the Sea of Thieves integrity and the integrity of the experience. But we should talk about it here in terms of like what we're doing and what we're continuing to do without actually giving too much details to anyone who might be naughty enough to...
Nefarious presence
quite
in the community.
Exactly that.
I mean, it might be worth like chatting briefly about what we mean when we talk about like cheating and toxic behavior as well. Like, what are the sort of things that like we're seeing more happening like out in Sea of Thieves at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, with season 8, it was proximity based, really. Previously, when you play Sea of Thieves, obviously you fire up and you could be anywhere within the world at any different outpost.
A dog has just under the table. Run under the table.
And the wagging tail was just like, hello.
Bless her.
Pepper, we're trying to talk about cheating. Come on now.
She feels very passionately about cheats.
Let me at them, that's what she's saying.
Where were we? Sorry. So with season 8, sorry, proximity, players could basically make sure that they were meeting other people on the seas a lot more easily than they were previously, which was they'd fire up an outpost and potentially see something on the horizon, chase it. When that happened, because that kind of level of proximity and also the level of competition, there were some bad people, some bad actors out there who started to cheat or you kind of exploit kind of existing systems within Sea of Thieves. So when we talk about cheating, it's people who are, I mean, someone else can probably more eloquently describe this for me, but they're using tools either outside of Sea of Thieves' system and or exploiting existing tools within Sea of Thieves' system to gain an unfair advantage over other players. And that's kind of packaging cheating very broadly. But then also we have the other element, which is toxic behaviour, which is can be something as incredibly direct as horrible language, slurs, nasty, discriminatory language over Mike and or not you, not Mike, not personally Mike, the microphone. But then also something that, you know, we've talked about in terms of the pockets of, okay, things like spawn camping, like actually where does that cross the line, etc. I don't know if anyone's got anything to add about kind of how what our definitions are, but I think it's fair to say that since the launch of season 8, we've seen a lot more of this reported.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say that it's usually, well, it is a fairly small amount of people doing this.
Yeah,
but the impact can huge. Be quite far reaching, yeah. Right? And yeah. And you know, and ultimately their intent is to ruin other people's games. Mm-hmm. Right? It's pretty it's pretty depressing, to be honest. But we see it and we understand it and we are aware and we've been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, which I know you're going to kind of talk about, right? But we do have a zero tolerance approach to this and we'll continue to do so and we will continue to kind of to combat this and to look at new ways to kind of to address this. Because it's, I think we talked about this in the past, right? That it's always this ongoing battle because as we close down exploits or close down line of loopholes, they'll be working to kind of open new ones up and find new kind of new vulnerabilities, really. And so, it's
an arms race.
Yeah, and it is. And ultimately it takes time away from actually doing cool stuff in Sea of Thieves for us,
absolutely.
Right, as a team, right? Like the more this happens, the more we have to go work against it and it stops us being able to kind of, you know, add new flaws to the house. But yeah, so it's like, it is extremely frustrating. I understand it's extremely frustrating for players. It's also extremely frustrating for the team.
Well, it's
here,
kind of right? The worst thing, right? It's a violation of the core experience that we've built. It's basically unintended hijacking of the gameplay, which is the absolute opposite of what we'd ever want to tolerate. And it is extremely frustrating for us. But to your point, Christina, some of that work has to happen undercover because it is an arms race.
And one of the things we recently added, obviously, was in-game player reporting. And that's had a bit of an effect as well. I think you've got some details of manual sort of reports as well that we've had through from players.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen a lot more reports come in since we added in-game reporting, which is fantastic because I think the process probably previously was you need multiple screens to kind of initiate that report process. You need to make sure you're capturing it, then you go onto the Sea of Thieves support site, and it's quite disjointed. But if you have that kind of encounter, you capture it, you go into game, you report a player, and then you initiate that. Then you follow up, but it's definitely seen us have a kind of an increase in the report, so we're able to kind of have visibility on like what the kind of lived experience is. Obviously, like not everyone has reported previously that they've encountered something that they consider cheating or toxic. But what we're doing with this kind of in-game tool is making sure that they're able to initiate that conversation a lot more easily with us. And it just means that it's a lot easier for players to follow up and also for us to follow up. Because I think the immediacy of, I've just had a really rubbish experience, then having to remember to capture and then log on to your PC or your phone, it does have like an attrition rate. So we've just kind of removed some friction there, which is fantastic. And there has been an increase in the reports that we've seen off the back of that. I think, Mike, in terms of what you were just discussing there, and I am going to read from this because I haven't memorized it, but also I want to get it absolutely right, is that in terms of that undercover work, we have been doing some undercover work and I can kind of share, it's all stuff you can read about on the Sea of Thieves website, but I just want to share it because I think it's really great to be able to talk about this. We kind of worked really diligently to kind of block some of these kind of evolving cheats. And some of the major ones is the hack that allowed players to move at an incredibly high rate of speed. People use that to evade attacks, initiate attacks, chase down ships, transport items, all like nefarious and bad things for people to do. We nip that in the bud. Similarly with a hack that allowed players to grab loot from a greater distance than we'd ever intended. Hopefully we've nipped that in the bud. And obviously, as you said, this is an arms race, but these are the kind of successes we're celebrating. Yeah. You know, the ability to grant items to a player's account without the prerequisites to do so. We saw the tail end of last year, we saw kind of that sort of bubbling up. We saw a lot of reports, whispers here and there. And we're able to kind of identify the players who had pursued that method to go get some items and also kind of nip in the bud the way that they were being able to effectively dispense them without ever earning them or having that reward entitlement. So we banned actually 4,500 accounts that we'd noted had done this. So to your point, obviously, we've announced at this point we've had over 30 million players, probably a little bit more now since we announced that. But when we talk about that scale, it is very small if you consider that as a kind of percentage of the population. And there are a couple of other things like a cheat that enabled players to bucket water directly from their ship to the hull of another ship, and then also blocking some exploits that people were using for, you know, effectively compromising the integrity of our emissary ledgers as well. I know how disheartening players felt when they logged on, checked the leaderboards, and they just saw like absolutely unreachable sums right at the top of that leaderboard. And it gave players who, you know, were ambitious and ready to play in like the purest and kind of like with the best of intent kind of way, it's really demotivating to see something fundamentally unachievable up there. So that's just a run through of some of the things that we've introduced. We have other things going on behind the scenes. I'm not sure how much we want to allude to that here though.
Right. We're exploring bigger picture stuff as well beyond that, right? Which we can't talk about yet, but as that evolves, well, I'm sure we will be able to talk about it. But yeah, there's some bigger picture stuff we're looking at behind the scenes beyond just the sort of, like you say, the nipping in the bud of those specific exploits. So there's a big concerted effort across a lot of people on the team. Like I say, it's frustrating that we have to go do that, right? Because to try and kind of maintain the integrity of the experience for people that are playing. So
yeah, I think like you mentioned, it's we realise how important it is, and it's like, and like you said, there is a zero tolerance. There's no like, well, let it slide. It's like, nope. You cheated. You've broken the rules, and you're out. Like, and it's like, I think like maintaining the integrity of the game as we try and do things to bring new players in, make the experience nicer for players. It's like there's no space for it in Sea of Thieves. So it makes sense to sort of for us to always be on, and we always are.
Like. Yeah, and the one thing I really also want to touch on here is that we've actually changed. This is kind of like the kind of system-y, techie side of things, but we've also done things on kind of like the review process to ensure that we're, you know, addressing things with the appropriate weight that they deserve. So zero tolerance approach to cheating, which has always been the case, but in terms of toxic behaviour and certainly toxic language, discriminatory language, we've changed our response to those reports, and now it's a lot firmer, and actually they get the severest form of suspension now rather than kind of the historical kind of three strikes and you're out. It's actually, no, there's no place for that here. You get one chance, because things can be said in heat or, you know, not necessarily understood, misunderstood within that environment, but like, do it twice, you're gone. I think that's really nice for us to be able to do. There's no place for slurs or discriminatory language in Sea of Thieves, as there isn't for cheats. And we've definitely work to make sure that actually when we moderate, not just from our social spaces, but from an in-game experience, like we are coming down on that seem to be coming down on that a lot harder than what we have previously, which is really great.
Awesome. So yeah, we're aiming to make the seas safer and more enjoyable for everyone that plays. I think we've run out of community questions now, haven't we, Christina? Or do we have any left at all?
We don't have any left on this particular list, but there'll always be more.
There will always be more, and you can send us more by using which hashtag?
Hashtag SOT podcast.
Great.
And we'll see it.
On any particular channels?
Any channel.
Twitter, Facebook, whatever?
No, the platform that you prefer, right, you can ask it, we'll find it.
Somehow. Great. So yeah, if you do have any questions, use that hashtag and send Christina personally. She will check the whole internet for those questions, and then we'll try our best to answer them. But yeah, I think that's we've kind of ran our time now. So
can I hit one little topic?
Oh, he's got
a little surprise topic.
Bonus topic.
Yeah. Exciting. But I was just thinking. No, but I was just thinking about as we were kind of going through this actually. And I just want to talk a little bit about Chris Davies.
Chris Davies, legendary Chris Davies.
Yes. But no, I just wanted to kind of you know. So for those that don't know, Chris Davies was lead designer on Sea of Thieves. Yep. Worked at Rare for about 10.5 years.
10.5 years. Yeah,
something like that, right? And so. And I think anyone that's seen him on the podcast or seen many videos will see the passion and the energy and the kind of love that he had for Sea of Thieves and the players and the game experience. And anyone that's kind of experienced any of his kind of pitches or his meetings internally has kind of witnessed that too. And, you know, and obviously it was kind of like to for Chris to hand in his resignation to you, Mike, and a little while ago and to kind of talk you through that. I just wanted to talk a little bit about his impact and his presence and stuff here and that obviously we wish him the best for the future and that, you know, he kind of he just got we're not going to talk about his opportunity and what he's doing and stuff. That's for him to talk about. But he's got a great opportunity that he couldn't really turn down. But I just wanted to say thanks to him for all of his work here and his passion and that he was a big part of Rare for a long time, right?
He was. It's lovely for you to bring that up. I mean, he was one of the biggest fans of Rare you can imagine.
Yeah.
Like so much from the design team bonded over that. Yeah, but Chris was part of Air Design leadership team with... Andy Preston, Shelley Preston and Chris Davies, part of that three. So yeah, he was a huge voice on the team and I got to work very close with him for many years and yeah, incredibly, you worked with him very closely, didn't you, Dean?
Yeah, he's lead designer on my team, absolutely gutted. That's why I'm probably a bit quieter than I usually am. Yeah. So yeah, wish him all the best, but it's a big loss. So,
It is.
And he was a wonderful person to have around as well. And his passion was infectious, which is...
very passionate, yeah.
Which is... the way we like to inspire the team here at Rare and around like exciting new things to go and do. So, you know, thanks to Chris for all of his work over the years and wish him, all we can say is wish him all the very best and every success in the future. Yeah. Thank you for everything.
Yeah. And I think I said to him, I think I dropped him a mail on his last day because I couldn't be in the studio, but like I look forward to now being a player and going to see what he's going to go do in the future and getting to witness and play whatever that is as a surprise and see him pour that passion and energy into it. But yeah, but I think just as an individual and a person, he was a fantastic part of Rare, fantastic part of Sea of Thieves. And we wish him well and look forward to see what he gets up to, right? And obviously then we have a, you know, and now for a little plug. We have a
We do. I'm searching high and low.
Yeah,
but big
shoes to fill, right? But that's the kind of that's what you get inspired by, that kind of energy and passion and kind of that and skill and craft, right? And so, but he was just a big part of the team and thanks for all of his impact on Sea of Thieves and on Rare, right?
Yeah, like, thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
Gonna need to find somebody new to put in like deep dives and stuff now
as well. Right? Yeah, that's
it. He's so inconsiderate, Chris. but yes, that is us at the end of this podcast. So thank you very much for watching if you were watching and listening if you were listening. If you want to see even more Sea of Thieves videos and updates, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And follow us on various social channels like Twitter and Facebook. That's only two I ever know.
Yeah, TikTok.
We're on. Yeah, TikTok.
Yep. Yeah, Instagram. Yep.
For the younger.
Ding the little ship's bell for notifications.
Do that on TikTok as well. All right. Okay, sure.
I don't know if it's a bell.
They got like a star.
Don't know what the icon is, but you can subscribe to notifications on that platform. Do it on all the platforms. It really helps me and my team.
There's crazy content on that platform.
Yep. But to your testament and the video team's testament, like we'll come in which on paper sounds like absolutely ridiculous, and then it'd be like it got a couple of million views and it's like, just people loved it. I know your team are great. Shout out to the video team always for being great, actually just the best.
There you go. We'll end it there. The video team are the best. Right, okay. We will see you on the next one, whenever that will be, but it'll probably be, I don't know. I'm not going to commit to anything. It'll be soon. See you on the next one, and thank you very much for watching again. We'll see you soon. Goodbye now.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Wave to them.
Oh, double handed. There you go.
Thank you very much for watching. If you liked what you just saw and want to stay up to date with all the latest Sea of Thieves news, then hit subscribe and click that little ship's bell for all those notifications. Cheers.